The first reading is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9 and 18 to 23. In the church Bibles, if you have one, it can be found on page 818. Matthew chapter 13, beginning to read at verse 1. The parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake, and great crowds gathered about him. So he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. This is the word of the Lord.
I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you for this parable from Matthew. By your Spirit, we pray, we will not merely understand it. We ask also that you would soften our hearts, make them receptive in such a way that we can respond to this teaching. In determined action, we pray, help us act on your call to us. In Jesus' name, we ask. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is like a person who saw the preacher was waving a £20 note and saying, it's for free for the person who would like to come and collect it. And indeed, the person came to collect it. Again, welcome. We're at the beginning this morning of a new series from the Gospel of Matthew, more specifically looking at the parables of Jesus. More specifically, still looking at the parables Jesus told about God's kingdom. And something we're going to see is that understanding the parables is important, but moreover, is the importance of responding to them as we hear them. Like Ecclesiastes 12:12 says, of making many books, there is no end. And that is certainly true of the parables historically. They are allegorical, people have said. And didn't that appeal to conspirational minds? There's some secret knowledge there for us. And if we could simply understand it, then that would be a right interpretation. Well, don't get me wrong. This is not a virtue to misunderstand the parables. It wouldn't be better if we paid no mind to their interpretation. It's just that the point with the parables is the purchase they have in our lives. Jesus wasn't setting clever riddles to see who was clever enough to understand him. Yes, there was a truth revealed in the stories that Jesus told, but more than that, he told stories that require a reaction from the people who hear them. So you want to interpret the parables? Great, get right on. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you do that. But don't stop there. Understand the correct interpretation of the parables is if it leads to your own personal response to the word of God. Jesus loved to use parables to teach God's truth. He'd tell a story, draw details in from everyday life, and put the truth there right in the middle. Now, you might say, well, with those stories, there is always something to figure out, isn't there? So in that sense, they're more difficult to understand than if Jesus just told us straight. But then, when the Holy Spirit helps a person to understand a parable, when you realize for yourself that you are in the parable, that it's for you to respond to, our understanding, the impact of the story is that much greater. I once studied at a Bible college where it had a performing arts section, and the fellow who led that, the performing arts section, he spoke to the preaching class, and he said to us, if you are going to have a drama before you preach, so for instance, it might be an evangelistic event, you have a drama at the beginning, and then it's the speaker's job to come on and say something from the Bible, well, the tutor pleaded with us, can I ask the preachers not to think it's their job to explain the drama? Just let the drama do its work and you stick to preaching from your text. And one reason he said that was because if you just leave people to work out the drama for themselves, yes, maybe they won't get it at all. But if they get it, their understanding will be that much deeper. Their aha moments will be profound because they worked it out themselves. So there's no help, is it, if the preacher begins, well, the donkey in the drama, you see, was our stubbornness, and, well, you know, the person giving gifts, well, that was Jesus, wasn't it? It is to explain away the power of a story like that. And so mostly, when Jesus is talking to crowds, and he tells these parables, well, he leaves them to it, and if they got it, they discovered it, they held onto it. Now, having said that about the parables generally, that no explanation is necessary, today we have a special situation. Because the parable we read, the sower, the seed, the soil, Jesus does give an interpretation. It's not a spoiler for the crowds, but Matthew records verses 18 to 23 that Jesus later explains the parable to his disciples. Jesus, what were you talking about? They wonder. What does it all mean? I'll tell you, says Jesus. And he takes them back to the content of the parable, point by point, what it means. Now, he doesn't need to do that with every parable. If we know that we have a need of a Savior, if our hearts are ready for the change that he can make, if we ask the Holy Spirit, then we can understand the other parables too. It's just helpful to us this morning that God had Matthew record Jesus explaining this one to his disciples. And it's also helpful if you know a little bit of what is going on for Jesus at the time he tells this parable. Because in the two previous chapters, 11 and 12, we learn from Matthew about the great things Jesus has been doing. He's teaching, and he's healing, and he's performing miracles, and people have been responding, and people are trusting in him. Lives are changed. Jesus tells them the kingdom of God is breaking into the world as we know it. But not everyone is responding. Not everyone is receiving the truth. In fact, there are some people who are very antagonistic against what Jesus is doing, and the disciples don't know why that is. The disciples themselves, you see, they are growing. They have come to see Jesus as their Lord. They themselves trust in him. They can't understand then why everyone has not responded like that, and especially why some are so hostile. And moreover still, why is that hostility coming very often from people who are religious? Today it will be our vicars, ministers, pastors, bishops, religious experts, the very ones who are against what Jesus says. Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, the religious authorities. They see what Jesus is doing and they don't like it. And so they dog Jesus' steps. They try and embarrass him in front of the crowds. They criticize him. They are against what he stands for. And naturally then, wouldn't the disciples wonder why, when he is our Lord, does everybody not treat him that way? And this morning, you and I might wonder the same thing. You think about the people you know, maybe people you love, you've prayed for them, you've witnessed to them, perhaps you've invited them to church, you may have invited them to outreach events we have here at the church, but they don't put their trust in Jesus. And just maybe, whether it be they foes or friends, colleagues, family members, they've almost taken up a cause against you because of your proximity to Jesus, because of your association with him. Well, why would they do that? Why would anyone be against the love of God that comes through his Son, that means our wrongdoing is forgiven, that wipes the slate clean for us, that reunites us as friends with God, that make us his children? What not to like? Why the antagonism? So Jesus tells a parable, and it helps us understand why. And he does that with a parable about a sower, some seed, and some soil. Many of us will be very familiar with the parable already. Maybe you heard it a lot of times, but what I'd like to bring out this morning is there is only one sower in the story. The sower is God. There's only one seed, and the seed is the word about the kingdom, the good news that Jesus himself embodies that we call the gospel. The good news about Jesus, the kingdom he's brought, it was entering the broken world of the people he was speaking to. A kingdom that's now breaking through into this broken world that we live in. The seed is the word about that kingdom. The word about Jesus' role in the kingdom's coming. That's the seed, and there is only one seed. And the seed word of Jesus comes with an invitation. Do you want citizenship in the kingdom? Do you want peace with God? Do you want Jesus as Lord of your life and your future? Do you want, like Debbie did, to step forward and say, by my actions, by my response, I want to rightly interpret the parable and receive those things? The word of Jesus is how to enter the kingdom of God, and it is good news. For God so loved the world. The invitation, it's there for anyone in the world, across this planet. God loves so much, he gave his only son to the world, so that whoever believes in him, that doesn't, their past doesn't matter, compromises before God, our former lives don't matter now. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, takes the consequences of our wrongdoing on himself. Didn't we celebrate last week that he rose again from the grave? He's seated now at the right hand of the Father, and by simple faith in him, we are forgiven and can know peace with God. That message is the seed. It's an ongoing work to spread that message across the world. All nations receive the same invitation. The sower doesn't change. The seed doesn't change. What changes is where the seed lands. Jesus walks us through the scenario, verses 3 and 4. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. What do you mean, Jesus? I'll tell you, verse 19, he replies. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, what happens is the evil one comes and snatches it away, what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. Perhaps that's where you are this morning. Maybe you've heard the parables of Jesus about the kingdom of God. You've received the invitation. Maybe it was as a child, or maybe many times since, even last week. But the roots never sunk in your heart. It never caused you to walk forward and say, that's for me. It didn't touch your values, your agenda. It didn't touch your priorities or your hopes for the future. Maybe it entertained you one Sunday morning, but you left the building and you forgot it. If a person can say, yes, I heard the parable, but it has no traction in my heart, then you were not fertile soil. And then Jesus tells the disciples, the evil one was able to snatch it away because it was not received into the heart of that person. They heard it, but they let it go. And so paradoxically, to make no response to Jesus is to make a terrible response to Jesus. I heard you, maybe a lot of times, but I don't accept your invitation. Now maybe we are kidding ourselves. Maybe that invitation is just going to sit there if and until we decide to accept it. But that's not what happens. Our hearts get harder. The evil one seizes the opportunity. He snatches away the seed. The enemy of our souls counts it as his victory. Well, how else can a person receive the good news about Jesus? Because the sower doesn't change, the seed doesn't change. Verse 5, there are other kinds of soil. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. What do you mean, Jesus? Verse 20, he tells us, as for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet, verse 21, he has no roots in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the world, immediately he falls away. Now we have a person who does respond to the message of Jesus, and they respond quickly. This person says, sign me up, I accept the invitation. But then time shows us something, and how it shows us how deep the response was really. Life happened, challenges, troubles. Oh, sighs our quick responder, I thought he was going to leave my troubles behind when I accepted the invitation. Wasn't that the offer? Isn't it God's job to give me a great life? I responded to the invitation. But still, I experience pain in my relationships. In fact, some of them seem to have got worse. People see my association with Jesus, and now they're having a go at me. I spoke too soon. I'm not sure anymore this is for me. What happened? A person heard the message of Jesus, but the challenges of life, the Christian life, caused the person to wither. There was no root. The person fell away. Here's another situation, verse 7. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them, about which Jesus says, verse 22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So we just heard about two ways, didn't we, for it not to take root. Here's a third way, same sower, same seed. The soil is the difference, the reception and response to the seed. Begins well in this third case, doesn't it? The seed lands on soil, that's good. It's not even rocky soil, but the soil where it stands is already crowded, full of weeds and thorns. Now, for those of you who are gardeners here this morning, do you plant something, something that you cherish, something that you value, do you put it alongside weeds and thorns? Do gardeners among us this morning, do we get what is important and put it in the middle of things which will rob the light, which will take the nutrients? Or here in the parable, the seed lands in the heart of a person which is already crowded. And like you and me, such a person lives in a world which has all these other things around us. This world is not in thrall entirely to the rule of God. And in that situation, with so much else going on, such a person is not willing to put these other things to one side. They will not set aside the competition in their lives to the rule of God. Yeah, such a person wants Jesus as well, to share a space. And in a situation like that, the other things around us, well, they're going to cry out. They're going to say, think first of your career. Think first of your family's security. Think of your standing, your reputation. I mean, this religion thing is getting a bit much. Why don't you keep it simple? Just keep it to Sundays. And there's more to life than a walk with God. Look, this other agenda will call out to you. You have a chance to make more money. Don't pass it up. Surely God helps those who help themselves. Maybe that extra money, well, is going to take you away from your Christian brothers and sisters. But what can you do? You have to live. And those other values and those agendas, they will crowd Jesus out. At your workplace, they're going to say to you those agendas. They're going to say, make the decisions you need, which are going to increase your influence and increase your standing, whatever the cost to your discipleship. Whatever the cost to your witness to other people about Jesus. What happened? The message landed in otherwise receptive soil, but it got crowded out. The weeds and the thorns, they choked it. What the seed would otherwise have done was impeded and truncated and compromised, and in the end, it was lost. Again, it is a response to Jesus, but it's one that puts personal stuff above the work of God in our lives. Same sower, same seed, three different places so far for the seed to land. All where the message cannot do its work. Does it ever work, you might ask? What would it take for the word of God to take root in our hearts? Verse 8, Jesus says, other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100, some 60, some 30. As we look at this parable, I would urge us to look at this multiplication as the focus of what we think about this morning. You see, many European cultures, including our own, well, we like to make efficiencies, don't we, including in our farming. So we see a parable and all this seed going this way and that, and maybe want to react to the seed where nothing happens. So we in our farming, what we do, we would historically we chop down hedgerows, didn't we, to maximize the seed which would grow and minimize the wastage. And if we're not careful, we can get to thinking the wastage is the point of the parable. but it would be to look at it through our own cultural spectacles. I once had a Zambian New Testament tutor, and he was from the Bemba ethnic group in Zambia, and he told his students a story about a Bemba woman saying to her husband that she wanted him to provide for their child. And in the story that our tutor told, he said that the husband replied to his wife, "No, go and see your brother, he can provide for your child." And then as a class we discussed the story. For the most part we reacted to the husband who we thought was shirking his responsibilities as a father. And only then did our New Testament Zambian tutor explain to us that among the Bemba people, it's the responsibility of the woman's brother to provide for his sister's children and not the husband. So in our parable today, let's be careful not to impose Western efficiencies on the story. Farmers in the ancient Near East were not so shocked about seed landing on stone or poor soil. They knew all about that. That was farming. And that illustration helped them understand the spiritual situation of Jesus' opponents. By contrast, what would have shocked them, verse 8, was the last scenario. After the seed on the rock, after the seed on the path, after the seed among thorns, the news you'd write home about was a seed that fell on good soil. Jesus says, seeds that fell on good soil produce grain, 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Imagine that. Imagine planting something and getting 100-fold what you planted. There's the shock. That's what the work and the word of Jesus does. The word finds a receptive heart. If it finds good soil, what it does is truly miraculous in its multiplication. Now, it's God's grace to us, this fruitfulness, but there's our part in it in terms of our willingness towards our trust of him. Like I said, not to respond to this call, this word of Jesus in our life paradoxically is to respond. We'll get this from pastor and writer John Piper. When with God you sit back to do nothing, you are not doing nothing. You are actively engaging your will and it is blatant disobedience. Part of the process of walking worthy of God's call is the active engagement of our will. God will never appear with power in our will in any other way through the other than the exercise of that will. So I'd ask this morning, how fertile are you willing to be? Are you trusting? Are you willing to acknowledge that your need of Jesus? Are you willing to be broken? If we are, then the work of God in our lives will produce more and more. You won't be surprised to know my message this morning is there is only one way to receive Jesus, and it's this fourth way. There's only one way to receive Jesus, and it means counting the cost and trusting in his word with everything you have. The news about God sending Jesus to save us is the most amazing truth we can know. So take it for what it is, let it sink down, and let it do its work in our lives. What an amazing realization to learn. There is a love for us that is not based on our merits. And when we receive it, it makes us worship God. It changes the way we live. It takes root and we bear fruit. That change inside of us, it happens in two ways. It's an internal thing. And it's also worked out in our relationships and our witness. As individuals, if we are not growing and maturing, if there's no fruit in our lives, we should ask this morning, have we been receptive soil to the word of God? Are you and I more like Jesus today than a year ago? Not are we perfect, but is there any evidence that Jesus is resident in our hearts? Would those who know us say there's a change taking place in us? And we spent so many weeks last term looking at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Well, do you find yourself, albeit in small steps, becoming more peaceable, more gentle, more self-controlled, more loving, more forgiving? If none of those things are happening, then the seed has not been received in our hearts. So that's the internal work. And to the outside, well, the fruit is born externally in our witness to other people. In our relationships, are we sharing that same seed in what we do and say? Do people know us as godly, loving people? So much so that the message, that seed, is transmitted by God through us to other people in their lives. That's how the fruit multiplies, isn't it? Yes, an inward change in our own lives, but then also the multiplication of witness to other people. To finish then, as we look at these parables of the kingdom of God in the weeks to come, can I urge us to interpret them in such a way that sees us step forward. Yes, count the cost of devotion, but then step forward as an act of interpretation, saying, yes, Jesus, your word has landed in my heart and I want it to take root. I want you to do your work of transformation, your work of multiplication. Amen.